Hudson, welcome and thanks very much for your time. Today is the 17th of September and we're in Seattle for the Expril US conference. But it just so happens that last night, despite a very impressive effort from the Data Transparency Coalition, which you lead, and Expril US, that a bill called HR 5405 was passed in Washington, D.C. last night. You're based in Washington and spend a lot of your time on the Hill talking to congressmen, senators and their staff. Just to start things off, please tell our audience a little bit about the DTC and how you brought together the coalition.
Well, the Data Transparency Coalition, as we like to think of it, is the only trade association that advocates open data as a matter of policy. Our members include technology companies and consulting firms that seek to persuade governments to standardize and to publish their information. Now, that covers all manner of government information. Thus far, we've focused on U.S. federal financial information and on financial regulatory reporting. The coalition began its work in February 2012, and we had our first big legislative victory in May 2014, when Congress passed and President Obama signed into law the Digital Accountability and Transparency Act, or DATA Act. The DATA Act is a mandate for the U.S. federal government to transform all of its spending information from disconnected documents into open data, to set government-wide data standards governing financial, grant, contract, and performance information, and to publish all of that. We seek to pursue similar open data mandates in Congress for financial regulatory reporting, for the information that the industry must report to the regulators under the securities laws, the commodities laws, and the Banking Act.
Great. From the standpoint of members of the coalition, all of whom are seeking to build data-focused businesses, what are the benefits of this open data?
Well, we believe that open data carries many benefits for government and for society. When governments choose to adopt consistent data standards in place of disconnected documents and choose to make that information publicly available online, they encourage democratic accountability. They improve government management, and they open up the possibility of automating compliance. And I can explain each of those benefits. Once open data is available about government, citizens have access to real information that they can use to hold their elected representatives accountable. This is true for financial regulatory filings as well. If all financial regulation were transformed into open data, investors would have new means of making smarter decisions. We can talk about government management for a minute. If the government expressed its information as open data instead of as disconnected documents, then analytics and dashboards and management tools internally would allow government managers to make better decisions. And automated compliance, I think, is one of the benefits that gets less attention, but that is economically the most consequential. As governments adopt structured formats for the information that they collect, it becomes possible to deploy software to automate formerly manual compliance tasks. In the United States, this began in the 1990s when the IRS and the state tax authorities all decided to adopt a consistent data standard for individual tax reporting. That's what made it possible for TurboTax and similar software to be constructed to allow individuals in the U.S. Never again to be compelled to read the U.S. tax code. That change should happen everywhere. Now, our companies believe that these benefits to society are matched by business opportunities. Of course, they're acting out of both public interest and self-interest. The opportunities match those three benefits of accountability, better management, and compliance. Some of our companies want to republish the information for accountability and make money off the advertising. Some of our companies want to deploy analytics for government, improve government's management capability, and they realized that if we had standardized data, then they could offer better insights at less cost. Some of our companies want to create the TurboTax for securities reporting or the TurboTax for federal grant and contract reporting. But in every case, they believe that these benefits of open data can be realized if the government chooses to standardize and chooses to publish as a matter of policy. That's what the battle's about.
And I'm sure we're going to come back to the Data Act. It's a fascinating subject, and it's something that a lot of people around the world are really interested in. So perhaps that's the subject of another podcast at some point in the not-too-distant future. right now, can you give our international audience a bit of a background to HR 5405 and the so-called Hurt Bill?
Yesterday, the House of Representatives passed a proposal known as HR 5405 that includes, as one of its 11 component pieces, a legislative language that would require the SEC to stop collecting XBRL data from about 60% of U.S. public companies and instead only collect documents. Now, that proposal is not a new thing. It was first introduced as its own law, as a standalone piece of legislation in March 2014, and it was approved by the House Financial Services Committee. Just recently, in order to put together a number of popular measures to help give members of Congress a piece of legislation to run on in the current election campaign, the leadership of the Financial Services Committee assembled HR 5405 and brought it through to passage on the floor of the House of Representatives.
That bill, which did pass last night, actually had more opposition than any of us were expecting.
That's right.
Largely due to a last-minute letter-writing campaign from your members and XBRLUS and others. But it still passed. It's unlikely to get to the Senate, is it?
Well, that's right. The next step would be for this bill to be introduced and then receive committee consideration in the Senate and then pass the Senate and finally be signed by President Obama, signed into law. We don't think that's likely. This bill was put together by the Republican leadership of the House Financial Services Committee in order to help Republican members with their re-election campaigns. We don't believe that the Democrats who control the Senate Banking Committee are likely to want to validate what the Republicans have done here. Now, of course, there's an election coming up, and after that, the current session of Congress will end. The session of Congress will end at the end of 2014. The end of the session of Congress will wipe out all proposals that have not become law, and so all of this whole process will have to happen again in the new Congress, which is seated in January 2015. Our primary concern now is that in 2015, with the new Congress, this proposal, since it has already passed one of the houses of Congress, might be on the agenda for the new congressional leadership, especially if the Republicans should take over the Senate, as many believe might happen.
Okay. And we'll come back to what has to happen. But can you describe the backstory of this proposal? I mean, how did opposition to XBRL reporting reach a point where Congress might pass a law forbidding the SEC from collecting XBRL data from so many companies?
Why would anyone be against XBRL reporting? Why would anyone be against the modernization of the financial regulatory regime? Why would anyone be against the transformation of disconnected, unsearchable, unstructured documents into structured data that can easily be manipulated, that can be easily be distilled into actionable insights? Well, to understand the answer to those questions, you have to look at the last 5 years. In early 2009, the SEC announced the XBRL reporting requirement. But since then, the agency has not shown true leadership to realize the benefits of open data in financial regulatory reporting. To this day, the SEC still collects two versions of every financial statement from each U.S. public company. The agency collects an XBRL version, but also a document version, so each financial statement has to be submitted twice. Moreover, until 3 months ago, the agency had taken no serious steps toward enforcing the quality of the XBRL data. And that's really because the agency has continued, for the most part, to rely on the document version in policing the U.S. capital markets. Without quality enforcement, investors in the U.S. and the companies that help them get their information have not wanted to rely on the XBRL data. Since the XBRL data is not being used, companies feel that the additional expense of preparing the XBRL version on top of the paper-based document version is not justified. Companies are not seeing their cost of capital reduced. In this environment, it's unsurprising that a member of Congress might decide that they can deliver savings, even if a small compliance savings, to some companies by promising that these companies, by promising to pass a law exempting these companies from the duty of preparing the data version of their financial statements. It all follows from this lack of leadership that we unfortunately have seen from the SEC over the past 5 years.
It's kind of ironic, isn't it? Today at the Expel US conference, there was presentations from data providers, new innovative data providers using this open information, showing that the costs of raising funds in the United States runs into the millions and millions of dollars each year.
And it only takes a few thousand, if that, to prepare the XBRL version of the financial statements.
Exactly. So they're not really dealing with the true problem here, are they? But that's politics for you, I guess. And as you say, it is very clear that the data quality issues and the utility of this information needs to be more clearly articulated and needs to be more heavily used. It is a change management problem that lots of agencies struggle as they modernize. And we shouldn't criticize the SEC for needing to go through that process. But we do all want to see action, and we do want to see publicity around that action, as the, many of the steps that they're taking, perhaps, they don't show us too much about. Okay, what's the status of this latest bill? Where do we go from here?
Well, our next step has to be educating some of the key senators and their staffers about the need for structured data, about how open data, standardized plus published, could transform financial regulation, how it could benefit investors, it could benefit the regulators, it could benefit the markets, and it could benefit the filers. Once they're educated about that, we think that they'll understand that if this bill were to become law, it would actually prevent the SEC from ever fixing the problems that I've just laid out. If the SEC is legally barred from collecting XBRL data from about 60% of public companies, then the agency will never be able to fulfill the promises of this system-wide transformation from documents into open data that we all hope will happen. Our first step has to be educating the senators and their staffs on this point. We also, crucially, need to persuade the SEC to show this leadership.
So that's very clear. What's the DTC and its allies, including Expel US, doing?
Well, first we're setting up meetings with we've already done some of this, but we're continuing to meet with the senators and their staffs on Capitol Hill. We're continuing to bring some of our companies in that can derive really impressive insights from the XBRL data, to meet with the legislators, to meet with their staffers, also to meet with some of the SEC leadership. That's going to be our priority over the next few months. We also will be putting together a public forum, a summit on open data in financial regulation in Washington early in 2015 that'll bring together all the supporters of open data in financial regulation and put together a government-wide agenda for this transformation, because this switch from disconnected documents to open data really has to happen, not just in SEC reporting. The securities laws, the commodities laws, the Banking Act, Sarbanes-Oxley, Dodd-Frank, all of the U.S. financial regulatory laws must be changed to facilitate a system-wide transformation from documents to standardized data. Those meetings and that summit that we're planning will all be geared toward that long-term goal, as well as stopping the XBRL exemption from becoming law.
Thank you. So in essence, the U.S. Congress currently has a bill in front of it that the House has passed, but the Senate is unlikely to pass or even consider
in this session.
But this may come back in the future.
That's right.
Now, that bill would reduce transparency and reduce the amount of information available to markets for smaller public companies in the United States, and that does seem pretty extraordinary. I've joked about this, but you know, perhaps we should be taking away their digital cameras. Perhaps we should be telling people that they can't use barcodes anymore. How can we help educate our politicians, not just in the United States, but around the world, about the importance of modernization in this field around structured and open data?
Well, the format of the information that governments collect, or information that governments generate, is never going to be a political issue. I don't think it's ever going to be a controversial issue. Everyone agrees that governments should use data instead of documents. It's just that the specifics of that transformation always run into the complexity of whatever domain you're working with. When I worked at the SEC, I quickly discovered that the people who were in charge of corporate financial reporting were corporate lawyers. They were experts in the subject matter. And well, they should be, because U.S. Securities regulation is so complex, you need a whole career to understand it. We cannot expect regulators who have taken a whole career to understand the substance of the information they're collecting to also suddenly be experts in the process, to also suddenly be experts in the format. That education is necessary. Similarly with politicians, let's look at their motivations. They need to focus on issues that divide voters. They need to focus on issues that will get them reelected. And although we believe open data can transform government and society, it's not going to be a political issue. So we need to pursue this education campaign to get the politicians to help the politicians to understand that open data can have this transformative effect that's good for everybody. And also to respectfully explain to those who are in charge of regulatory reporting that these changes will help make their own jobs easier. I think we have to come at this from a position of humility, and that can be difficult for those who are frustrated with government's perverse insistence on using fillable PDFs to collect regulatory forms. But the humility is necessary, because we didn't spend a whole career learning how to understand corporate financial statements. We have things to learn from the subject matter experts as well.
Absolutely, and that seems like a pretty good moment to end on. Thank you very much for your time and your work on this vital subject. I'm sure we'll return to this issue before long.
Too many times.
Thanks very much for keeping everybody up to date, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you.